Happy Sabbath and good morning to all of you. It is just good to be here this morning. First of all, I would like to thank the Lord for the gift of life. You know, many times we take things for granted. We think that when we go to bed, we have to get up the following day. But I tell you, just received a few days ago a news that my former colleague just died. He didn't make it this Sabbath. But you and I, we have made it. Not that we are better than them, but God still has something for us to do on earth. So we need to be thankful every time we breathe, every time we walk, every time we act. We do something, we need to thank the Lord. So this morning, I'd like to thank the Lord for the gift of life, the gift of worshiping together. Secondly, I just want to thank also Pastor Doug and the team here, an amazing fact, and this church for giving me the opportunity to worship with you this morning and to share the good news from above. I just want to say as well, that I've been blessed by Amazing Facts Ministry. This is a wonderful ministry used by God to reach millions of people around the world. And I can testify the power of this ministry and at the same time, this church as well in general. So we thank the Lord and thank you, Pastor Doug, special friend and the team, for what the Lord is doing. You are allowing God to use you to be a blessing for many. The title of my sermon today, as you see, Kidnapped, Are We Alone? Let's just bow our heads as we pray again. Heavenly Father, here we are. Would like you to speak in a special way today. We don't want this to be a routine. We'd like this to be a life-transforming experience for all of us. So Lord, speak and use this unworthy servant of yours to bring the message from above. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Have you been in a situation where you didn't know what to do? You were stuck. You didn't know where to go, how to solve the problem. You are kind of overwhelmed by the situation. You want to go forward, there's an obstacle. Go right, obstacle. Left, obstacle. Backward obstacle. You are stuck. You are overwhelmed. I tell you, in the Bible, there is also a story about this. And that is in the 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 15. You know what is around this. And I read, and when the servant of man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, "Alas, my master, what shall we do? What shall we do?" That was the extremity of the servant of Elisha. He was stuck. He didn't know what to do. He was surrounded by the Syrian army, horses and chariots. It was just a mismatch. And he was overwhelmed by the situation. I can tell you that I've been in that situation many times, overwhelmed, stuck. I can tell you a few of those, but I just chose to select one today. That was my extremity. I was born in the country of Madagascar. It's an island between the mainland, Africa, and India. So I started my ministry there, but in 1994, we were called to be missionaries in the mainland Africa, in Zaire, and now DRC, Democratic Republic of Congo. We were there with my family, with the children. They were still small, under 10. It was a dangerous place then because of the war situation, because of the civil war. The system was broken. Road system broken, financial system broken, and above all, the security and the safety system broken. The family worship was quite special at night. Of course, family worship has to be special. Everyone needs to value family worship, but not back then. It is more than that, because it was also a time to say goodbye. Because it is very possible that that night, people with trucks just come with guns and kill everybody, take everything and leave. So our family worship is just getting ready to leave and ready to die with the children. That was a life during that time. One day, we organized. I was the leader of the church, was union president during that time. So we organized a meeting, leadership training meeting. And my colleague, was from that land, from country of Zaire, DRC, and his wife, after the meeting, they decided to go for shopping. Around 5 p.m., daylight. So they park their car, and after finishing the shopping, they came back, and they saw the car was already surrounded by 6 gunmen. And they demanded. He said, "Listen, give us the car key." And my colleague refused. That was a mistake. And then they said, "Well, give us then the briefcase, the little bag where you put the Bible and the notes." And he refused. And they shot him. 3 bullets passed through his body. And he was there in a pool of blood. And that was not the time of the easy communication of the cell phone or mobile phone. So it was hard for Mrs. Napita, the wife, what to do, and in that chaotic situation. But God helped. She managed to find a way to rush him to the best hospital available. So he was brought there, and the surgeon said, "We have to operate on him right away because there was a bleeding," and they operated on him, and that took about 6 hours of operation. A lot of his internal organ had broken, destroyed by these bullets. So it was finished around 4 a.m. and he recovered. But after 3 days, the head surgeon called me, said, "Pastor, we are worried because there is a risk of infection. We have the knowledge, but we don't have the tools. If that happens, we cannot control this. The solution, Pastor, is for us to evacuate him to South Africa to have a better medical attention." But that was a problem. I said, yes, sure, let's do that. But it was a problem because the communication, the flight during the time of war between Johannesburg, South Africa, and Kinshasa, the capital city of the DRC, or the Congo, was not that frequent. And he needed 9 seats because he could not sit. He had to lay down. And then, of course, we also sent his wife with him to take care of him. And we were French-speaking. He didn't speak English. So we need someone to translate. We need a medical. 9 seats. Just we have to find fast. So my colleague tried very hard, but he couldn't find those seats. And then I said, well, let me try. I have a manager or the owner of a travel agency. He said, let me go and negotiate and find a way. So I took my car and drove downtown to go and negotiate and plead with this travel agency manager. So I reached downtown around 2 p.m. and I parked my car and I crossed the main road and I started to walk. And then after some time, I sensed that someone was following me. And we knew already a kind of developed a little bit of a skills how to handle this kind of situation, and many times it worked. So you just walk faster and hoping that he will give up. But this time, this man did not give up. And he walked fast. And fairly, I can walk fast, but he walked faster. And when I saw a car just park alongside the road, a brown car. And when he saw that, he even walked faster. And then he stood in front of me next to the car, the door of the car. And he said, get into the car. I said, no. I cannot. I had my goal is to find seats for my colleague, for him not to die of infection. So I said, no. And then he pulled the gun, showed the gun, and I said, I understand that language. So I have to listen. And in my mind, they said, okay, let me just not to make a mistake of what my colleague made. So I just need to accept and go into the car and negotiate my life in the car. So I went into the car. And I saw already 3 men in the car. 3 men there, 2 in the front rows and another at the back seat. And the gunman next to me, I was in the middle there, next to the gun, and I even felt the gun next to me because it is tucked here. And they close the door of the car. Keep listening. I will tell you what happened. But let's go back to our text. That was my extremity. I was stuck. I didn't know what to do. But what will happen? Let's go back to the extremity of Elisha and the servants. In 2 Kings chapter 6, we read from verse 8, this time to verse 16. And I explain as we go. Said here, now, the king of Syria was making war against Israel. And he consulted with his servants, saying, my camp will be in such and such a place. And the man of God sent to the king of Israel, saying, beware that ye do not pass this place, for the Syrians are coming down here. So here, two kings, two nations at war. The Syrian king against the Israelite or Israel, king of Israel. And the Syrian king was kind of strategizing. He said, look, this time what we'll do is to ambush. So we will hide and then we'll jump. And he did that few times and it didn't happen because he was found out all the time. And he was distressed. He said, there's something wrong here. I have to summon my servant, my generals. And then he had a meeting with them. And he said, one of you must be a traitor. Because we were here in this place, nobody knew except you. How come these people knew about this? And I can imagine it was so quiet in the room. People were afraid because that might be death. And then probably the most senior general, the servant, he said, as you read here, we go in verse 12 of 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 12. And one of his servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom. He said, what? Really? In my bedroom? Yes, he's a prophet. Oh, you relax a little bit knowing that his team is still intact. No traitor. But he was a little bit worried, so they changed the strategy. He said, okay, this time we are not going to do anything about ambush. We are going to capture that man. So they tried to find out the place, and they said, okay, the town is Dothan. Okay, let's then capture him. They decided how many people are going to capture this prophet. They debated. And they ended up saying, let's send an army to capture one man. And then they went through the night and they surrounded the city, the town of Dothan. And the servant woke up probably preparing breakfast, and then he looked in verse 15, which we read, and when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, alas, my master, what shall we do? That was his extremity. He felt alone. He felt helpless. He didn't know what to do. But Elisha, the same circumstance. Elisha was surrounded as well by the army. But look at his response. Totally different. In verse 16. So he answered, Elisha answered, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Do not fear. The servant of Elisha panic, fear. But Elisha said, no. Don't be afraid. Don't fear, because those who are with us are more than those who are with them. I can imagine the reaction of the servant of Elisha. This Elisha must be too old. He cannot even count. He said, me and Elisha, two. And look at the army, the horses and chariots. How come we are more than them? And then Elisha prayed. Verse 17, and Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. And then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. So all along, the servant saw, but he didn't see. He was actually blind. He needed a prayer, a miracle for his eyes to be open. So he saw, but maybe partially. His problem was he did not know to count properly. What is it? He only counted the visible. He did not count the invisible, because the verse, it said here, and behold, verse 17, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. When his eyes were open, then he saw the invisible. And the word more here in the original Hebrew, it is more than more. It is more in number, more in strength, more in rank. It is more than the more in English. It is strong. And it is true. In number, you see, the army of the Syrian king just surrounded the city of Dothan. But the army of the Lord, the mountain was full of the army of the Lord. Maybe in the streets and next to the house, full of angels, full of horses and full. So it is more in number. What about strength? Definitely, yes. Rank, yes. And just think of this. It is said here, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire. So the chariots of the Syrian king was made of wood and iron, and you know that fire burned wood. So it is more than that. So he saw that, and he was no longer afraid. He needed prayer. He walked by sight, and Elisha walked by faith. That is the difference. He was overwhelmed because he counted wrongly. But Elisha was assured. He was not afraid because his counting is right. He counted both the visible and the invisible. My dear brothers and my dear sisters, all of us here, we have our challenges. And probably we feel like overwhelmed. Is it health? Is it relationship? Is it professional? Is it economical? We know. Is it maybe children starting to not wanting to go to church or not wanting to pray? A challenge. And we feel that we are overwhelmed by that. We don't know what to do. But we need to choose. Which one? Do we want to be like the servant of Elisha or like Elisha? How do we count? That determines the way how to handle situation in our lives. You see the outcome. They came. They came to Elisha. He said, "Oh, we are looking for Elisha." And Elisha said, "Okay, come." He prayed. Elisha prayed for them to be blind. Can you imagine the entire army turned blind? The general blind, the simple soldier blind, and walked about 12 miles between Dothan and Samaria. That was a long walk. When you are blind, 1 mile is long. But they had to walk with blindness. Superior. And they end up being the capital city. And instead of being killed, the king fed them because he was instructed by the prophets. That extremity of Elisha became the opportunity of God to show his power. Man's extremity is God's opportunity. What is your extremity right now? That your extremity, God wants to turn it into an opportunity for him to show his power, his love, his mercy. That means we should never be discouraged, no matter what. What happened to me? I know you want to know. So, I was then in the car, and that was my extremity. I know I was in Congo. That means I could have been killed very easily by these people. And I was afraid. But I prayed. I said, "Lord, I know if you tarry, I will eventually die. But this is not the death I would like to have. This will be terrible for the church." The secretary of the union shot the president, killed. It's not be good for my family. So, Lord, save me. When I finished that prayer, I felt almost like physically the presence of God. God was there. He touched me physically. I know we believe that God is here, but during that time, it was more than that. It was touching, God present. And my fear just disappeared. And they started the engine, and I knew the direction toward the Congo River, a big river. And I knew already what will happen. They will take everything I have, and they will kill me, and they will dump my body into the river, and they will be like the meal for the crocodiles. And no one would know. But I was not afraid. Jesus was there with me. So I became relaxed and talk. And they talked in vernacular, Lingala, which I didn't understand during that time. Understood later. And then the gunman asked for my documents. You know, in that situation, you have to walk with your documents because you don't know. You have to leave fast. So ask for documents, passport, and all of this, even locally, and I gave. And then continued to go to the Congo River. And then after some times, he asked for all the money I had, and we traveled with money because the banking system did not work. So traveled with money, took the money, all the money I had, so they give. And after some time, they slow down the car. And they switch from the vernacular language into French, a language I speak. He wanted the leader of the group wanted me to understand. And he said to his man in French, he said, "You know what? This man is a man of God. We cannot take his document, return his document." So the gunman returned my document. He said, "Thank you." And then he was quiet, the leader. And he said, "You know, we cannot even take his money. He's a man of God. Give back the money." Amen. And then the gunman just looked down. He did not, document, yes, money, no. So he pretended that he did not hear. And he kind of waited there. Then the leader just shout, "I say, give him the money. Give back the money." Then he got the message. So he gave back the money. "Thank you, sir." And then the leader said, "Now you are free. You can go." And I said, "No. You must give me back, give me a ride back. You cannot just leave me here. You can't find a way to bring me back to where you picked me." And then now it becomes a reverse. They were now pleading with me. You see, the invisible resources, the invisible family members were there. The angels scared them and said, "You know what? We too, we are afraid. We don't want to go back to where we picked you because another group may attack us. And probably they are stronger than us, so we don't really want to go there." I said, "No, you need to find a way. You cannot just leave me here." And he said, "Let's see. Well, we are not going to bring you exactly where we picked you, but there's another road that we can take, and we can bring you up to the roundabout, and that will not be far from where we picked you, so we will go that way. Is that okay, sir?" He said, "Yes, it's okay, let's go." Then started the engine, and we went into that the road back to the city, and we saw the roundabout. They said, "This is the roundabout. We can just drop you here." I said, "We cannot go beyond this. Please understand." He said, "Okay." And then I said, "We are friends now, right?" I said, "Definitely." And then I started to take a street. And they said, no. "Don't use that street. That is dangerous. Another group may pick you there. So take this one." I said, "Fine." Then I take that street, and I reached the place. I found 9 seats for my colleague and send him to South Africa. My dear brothers and my dear sisters, many times we are discouraged because we count wrongly. We only count the visible, but the visible is less than the invisible. So we need to count the angels, God, with us. In our problems, in our projects, God is there. Let's trust him. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your loving kindness. You are a loving Father. Many times, Lord, we count wrongly. We only count what we see, but you still want us to count what we don't see, but reality. So here we are, we invite you to dwell in our hearts and send your myriads of angels to camp around us. that even if we pass through challenges in life, we will not be discouraged, because we know you are there and you care. Be with us now. Dwell in our hearts. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
How many of you would like to join me in thanking Pastor Ratzar for sharing his testimony and the word with us? Amen.